This is Director Jared Maples of the New Jersey Office of Homeland Security and Preparedness. Welcome back to Intelligence Unclassified, a podcast about counterterrorism, cybersecurity, and emergency preparedness. Join us as we talk to local and national experts in these fields to discuss New Jersey's diverse threat landscape and offer you a unique perspective on current trends and issues facing our great state. If this is your first time listening, then thanks for coming. Please feel free to add this podcast to your RSS feed, iTunes, or Google Play. You can also follow NJOHSP on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at NJOHSP. All links can be found in the show notes and on our website, www.njohsp.gov.
Hello, everybody, and thanks for joining us today. Today's podcast is on the Regional Intelligence Academy, or RIA. I am Jerry. I am one of the Intel analysts with the Analysis Bureau here at NJOHSP, and I'm joined by a number of my colleagues, Jonathan, Matt, and Megan. Start with Megan, who's really in charge of the entire RIA here at OHSP. So Megan, could you tell us a little bit about the RIA?
Sure, Jerry. So the RIA is a cooperative educational initiative, and it's between our office, OHSMP, the New Jersey State Police, and the UASI region, which stands for the Urban Area Security Initiative region. So that is northern New Jersey. This curriculum was identified after we did a study on the capabilities of analysts throughout the state. And we decided that there were some gaps in the training that needed to be identified. So this training focuses on the tradecraft of intelligence, and it's targeted at the law enforcement we have in the state, first responders, other intel analysts, criminal analysts, and the private sector as well. So we are a regional training academy, and we focus our efforts on New Jersey, New York, and Philadelphia. These programs are designed in conjunction with the DHS's core competencies for what makes an intelligence analyst. You can find these competencies in the Intelligence Community Directive 203, as well as other necessary skills that we have identified that are focused on New Jersey's needs in particular. We wanted to start to teach a lot of these courses in-house so we would be able to update the curriculum when we wanted to and be able to create new content once those needs were identified. So right now we have a curriculum of 32 different courses, and they range from executive level workshops that are about 4 hours all the way up to 10 days for mid-level managers.
That's awesome, Megan. Can you tell me a little bit more about the instructors that you have currently with the RIA and like maybe a little bit about their backgrounds or which agencies they're from?
Absolutely. So right now we have a number of different instructors from different organizations across the state. So of course we have instructors in OHSMP, but we also have instructors that work for the state police, that work for the DEA, that work for the business integrity units, as well as the Department of Corrections and a number of other places. The reason that we have this wide variety of instructors throughout the state is because we want to make sure that we're tailoring the classes that we offer to different audiences and make sure that we have the most up-to-date information from people that are actually working in the field on a daily basis.
These individuals come from a wide-ranging backgrounds and have different experiences and are able to share those with the students you have in these courses.
Absolutely. We have a ton of different backgrounds in our instructors, and that's one of the things that I look for when I choose people and mentor them to be instructors. So we have people with military backgrounds, different law enforcement backgrounds, even contractors that have worked overseas. So we try to really look at the backgrounds of these individuals before we start them on the process of becoming an instructor for the RIA.
That's awesome. And having taught one of these courses, I can definitely say that these different backgrounds from the instructors are really helpful. So now talking a little bit about the students, I see here that we had 1,003 students in 2018. That's a lot of people. And you offer a multitude of different classes. Can you kind of go into some more about these students and then the different classes that we do offer?
Sure. So this year, we really looked at our curriculum and looked at the students across the state and decided that we needed to focus our efforts more on developing analysts from the ground up. So we developed something called the Basic Analyst Training Track. And what that is a 3-week track where we introduce the students to a number of different intelligence areas that they may come in contact with during their careers at the state. This starts off with a 5-day, 40-hour basic analyst training. This basic analyst training is certified by IOLEA, and it's one of only 14 in the entire world that has that standard.
Can you tell us what IOLEA is?
IALEA stands for the International Association of Law Enforcement Intelligence Analysts. So the purpose of IALEA is to advance the standards of professionalism in law enforcement intelligence analysts. And this is at a local, state, national, and international level. So IALEA is an international organization. And so that is what makes the BAT course that we offer at OHS&P so significant, because it has that certification that is needed to be that professional analyst.
So the courses are evaluated by IALEA, and then I know some other agencies have done so as well. How are the specific classes chosen to actually be part of the basic analyst training track?
So the basic analyst training track has now run twice. As I previously mentioned, this is a 3-week track, and the first pilot that we offered, we looked at a number of different courses and had the students go through them. After that, we evaluated the classes for their consistency, for the messaging that they were saying, as well as the skills that they actually taught the students. We did a little bit of tweaking, brought in a couple of other guest instructors, and we ran the track again. And I think that this training track that we ran this last time really was able to address the needs of the analysts across the state. As I mentioned before, we ran the 5-day, 40-hour basic analyst training the first week, and this basic analyst training talks about things like critical thinking, inference development, statistics, and a number of other things that your basic analyst needs to know in any career they may have in New Jersey. So then we looked at the other things that analysts need to know, and we kind of narrowed it down to a few things. So we brought in an expert that talked about gangs in New Jersey. We brought in experts that talked about drug recognition throughout the state. We also brought in experts that talked about intelligence-led policing, as well as domestic radicalization and recruitment, and cybersecurity. So we thought that these were all different topic areas that the students, regardless of where they may be working, might need to know.
Thanks, Megan. That's a lot of good information about these courses. And I know that it's great to have these different professionals come in. From my experience, I've come from the federal level, so I really don't know much about intelligence-led policing or anything dealing with law enforcement specifically. So having those experts come in is really beneficial to the students in the course. So we have a couple of the students here with us today, but before we talk about them, I wanted to ask Megan, how are these candidates chosen to participate in the BAT program?
So these candidates are actually hand-chosen by their organizations across the state. And so we reach out to different groups like the Intelligence Commanders Group and other districts that we have where we know that there are supervisors on them and that they will know best the individuals within their organizations that need this type of training. So we keep it a very tailored audience, and we really make sure that the people that are inside of these training tracks are able to actually attend the whole way and that they are the ones that could benefit best out of this training.
So I know earlier you said that the candidates were all chosen from New Jersey, but at the beginning of the podcast, you said that the RIA focuses on New York as well as the Philadelphia area as well. Can students come from Eastern Pennsylvania or New York?
We do not close this training off to anyone that may really benefit from it. We've even had people that work in the private sector in global security operations centers, which are normally referred to as GSOCs. They have come and really benefited from our training as well. So we just require that they are able to attend all 3 weeks and that they are the right candidate for this type of training. The reason that this is open up to everyone is because a lot of intelligence trainings you have to pay for, and our RIA classes here, even this 3-week training track, is at no cost to the students. We want to make sure that the people that need this type of tradecraft are able to benefit from our courses.
Thanks for going into a little bit more detail, Megan. Now, before we actually talk to some of the students that have taken part, let's talk about some more about the instructors. What are some of the criteria required to be an instructor for BAT or any of the other RIA courses?
We actually have a quite extensive program to develop our instructors, and we take this very seriously. We believe that the instructors are the face of the organization, and so we want to make sure that the credibility is also there. So as I mentioned before, we look at their backgrounds, we look at their experiences and the jobs that they currently do, and then we also look at their instructor capabilities. I also co-run the methods of instruction training that we do here at OHS&P, and so any of our instructors that come through the course must have some type of formal instructor training. So that can be in the military if they receive that, or that can be through public entities or through our methods of instruction class. So prior to any of our instructors going out there and teaching, their instructor capabilities are assessed. And after that, we will assign them the courses that they are going to be doing. And then we also require them to come and give us mock presentations prior to them actually going out there and teaching the instructors. Additionally, at any of these courses that are taught, a representative from OHS&P Training and Exercise Bureau will be present. That way we can just make sure that everything goes according to plan and that the message that is out there is consistent with what our organizations want to be saying.
A lot of the times the instructors before the courses even begins are going through these courses, making sure all the material is relevant, accurate, and that we're providing the best that we can to students. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Each of our courses are looked at with a fine-tooth comb, and we make sure that we are giving the most relevant information and the most up-to-date information. So let's say that some policies have changed or new directives have come out. We make sure that these are included into these curriculums. So they almost serve as a living document, if you will, because they're constantly being reevaluated for their consistency and the relevancy to the state. So it is a very time-consuming effort for us to go through each of these courses, but we really want to make sure that the credibility is there and the relevancy is there.
Thank you, Megan, for providing a great overview of this program. We're going to switch gears now and talk with some of the students that really have attended BAT and some of the other courses that the RIA offers. So we'll start with John. John is a member of the Analysis Bureau here at OHSP. He just started a couple weeks ago. Prior to that, he was working for our Counterterrorism Watch and was a part-time police officer here in New Jersey. So he went through this as a police officer. So he has a different perspective than some of maybe our regular analyst students. So John, can you tell me a little bit about what was helpful for you in this course? What did you expect going into it, and then what you got out of it overall?
Thanks, Jerry. I think the thing that was most helpful about this course was just the wide-ranging number of topics that we covered. As Jerry said, I came from the law enforcement world before I entered into the analysis world. So the training really did cover analysis that was helpful for both law enforcement investigations and terrorism analysis and those sorts of investigations. So it really covered the full gamut of what I think you would really need to be successful in this field.
And what were some of the expectations you had before you got to the course?
To be honest, I wasn't quite sure what to expect. I was a little nervous taking it. It was a big step. The course was very welcoming and very approachable for pretty much someone new to this field to get into. It didn't speak over our heads. It was very on our level.
Would you say that it was beneficial for law enforcement officers as well, as instead of just analysts?
It was beneficial just from the intelligence-led policing standpoint, from the regular street officer just kind of working cases. It really opened up a new perspective for us and how we kind of view the world.
Do you have any key takeaways that you would want to highlight for us?
I think just the focus on intelligence-led policing for law enforcement officers was very helpful.
Now we'll switch gears to Matt, and kind of, Matt, we'll cover the same topics with you as well.
Thank you, Jerry.
So Matt, again, the same questions that we kind of went over with John. What was helpful for you about the course? What did you expect going into it? And then maybe highlight some of the key takeaways from the course that you learned and what's really been beneficial to you as an analyst.
So for the course materials itself, like John said, and like we kind of touched upon with Megan, is there was a wide range of topics and different backgrounds of people coming to teach, which really did give me an outlook on different things that are actually happening that really kind of goes for the intelligence side of the house. So obviously here at OHSP, our focus is on counterterrorism. So obviously I don't have as much experience when it comes to the drugs or the gangs. So it was really good to kind of see that different light and see how officers and other intelligence analysts are able to take those topics and use a lot of the same techniques that I use here in the office, but orient them towards a different type of thing.
I would imagine networking was a beneficial thing to you as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was amazing to see all the different students that came there. A lot of them were local police officers, some were with the state police, others were federal intelligence agencies. So it was great to really kind of get a vast amount of experience and different walks of life that people have gone through. And I really was able to leverage on them. So when I was lacking in certain areas of the class that I didn't really know a lot of information on, I could go to my colleague who was either sitting next to me or behind me. I could say, hey, do you have any information on this? Would you be able to help? And they'd be able to help me in the class. What else was really good about that is that after the class was over, it wasn't done. I still had their contact information. Megan still sent out everybody's information and said, hey, here's everyone's contact info, their email, and feel free to give them a phone call or an email if you ever need any information. And that was echoed by a lot of the students as well. So now, just through this one class, I have numerous different contacts to go to, both in corrections, with different law enforcement agencies, as well as other intelligence agencies as well, which I can really lean on.
Thanks, Matt. And you just finished going through this course as a whole just a few weeks ago, right?
Yes, that's correct.
How prepared do you feel as an analyst now? Obviously, there's things that you're going to continuously learn, but do you feel like you have a better understanding of the analytic process?
From the class, I really learned a lot about not only the different structured analytical techniques that intelligence analysts can do, but I also learned about my own capabilities as well. I really was able to see where I had a lot of strengths with my critical thinking and some of the places where I either lacked with either my knowledge or some of the things I haven't had experience with. So the class really gave me a well-rounded look of both the professional and personal development that I could really get out of it.
Can't stress the importance enough of critical as well as creative thinking, especially within the analytic field. Thanks, Matt and John, for covering that stuff with us. Now we'll switch gears back to Megan to kind of close out the podcast. Now that we've finished our second round of the BAT course, I heard you have a lot of things going on in 2019. Can you talk a little bit about some of those projects we have starting?
Absolutely. So I'm extremely excited for the coming year. We have a lot of things that we're offering, and they're new things that we haven't been able to offer before. For the last 9 years, we have offered these trainings mostly in the northern region of New Jersey, but this year we're actually extending into the southern region. So we have courses that will be taking place in Cumberland County, Gloucester County, Camden, Burlington, and Mercer. So this is really exciting for people that maybe have not been able to attend our courses in the past because of their locations. We're also developing some new curriculum as well. So we have a full-day critical thinking course that's coming out, as well as a 2-day integrating intelligence into the incident command system course. Additionally, we're going to continue to offer some of the courses that we expanded into this year, which includes social media analysis in criminal investigations, as well as intelligence-led policing.
If someone wanted to reach out and kind of learn more about the program, where could they contact you at?
The way that you can reach out to us very easily is training@njohsp.gov, or you can check out the njohsp.gov website, and it has a training calendar on there, and you can also easily reach out to us through there.
Awesome. Thanks, Megan. Is there anything else you would like our listeners to know today for this podcast?
Thank you so much for allowing me to be on here and talk about my program, and I hope to see some of you in future classes.
Great. Thanks, Megan. We really appreciate you joining us this morning. It was very beneficial, and I hope you'll come back and join us for future podcasts. I also want to thank Matt and John for joining us today. We appreciate the time you took out to record this podcast. For our listeners out there, if this is your first time joining in, please make sure you subscribe and listen to our future podcasts covering a wide-ranging variety of terrorism topics. Again, thanks for joining, and we look forward to speaking with you soon.
All links can be found in the show notes and on our website at www.njohsp.gov. If you have any ideas or topics for future episodes, please contact us on Twitter at NJOHSP or email us at intelunclass@njohsp.gov. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to subscribe to Intelligence Unclassified.